Right back here on 760 WJR as Michigan football continues to roll along undefeated. It's still early in the year, but we are reminded that back in 1997, a Michigan football team went from beginning to end undefeated and won the school's only national championship. There's a new book that recounts this beautifully, step by step. It's called Mountaintop, the inside story of Michigan's 1997 national title climb. It was written by two former Free Press Michigan beat writers who were there throughout the process or covered the team over the years at some point, Nick Baumgartner and Mark Snyder. And, of course, at the center of that whole story was the coach of that 1997 team, Lloyd Carr. And we have the great pleasure of welcoming Lloyd to the Mitch Albom program. Hello, Lloyd.
Well, thanks for that beautiful introduction, Mitch.
Well, it's been, 1997, that's 26 years, and it's about time that there was a book about the season, considering that for all that Michigan has accomplished, that still remains the one national title. Now, can you start off by telling people that back then, and our young listeners may not remember this, but they didn't have national championship games. They didn't have playoffs. They just had polls. And so you had to make sure that you finished, you know, first in the polls. So was it weird to, like, win all your games and still have to wait to see how a vote came out to see if you won a national championship?
Well, I don't remember ever dealing with that issue, Mitch, but the thing I am sure of is that the book was told by the players, and that's the thing that I really felt positive about, because Nick and Mark did a great job of making it into a readable thing, and they told a lot of great stories that only the players knew about. I learned a few things myself that I was not aware of, but
give me an example of something you learned that you didn't know 26 years later.
Well, I didn't know that there was a party there with Aaron Shea and Steve Frazier in the dorm. And long story short, we ended up having a picture the next day of the party in the West Quad. And there had been a fire that was started by an electrical malfunction. And I tried my hardest to find out who was responsible, because that was behavior that was unacceptable in the dorms. So Steve Frazier and Aaron Shea, both those guys played a big role. And if you want to know what the rest of the story was, you'll have to read the book.
You're pretty good at this, Lloyd.
Yeah, good tease.
Yeah, way to pump the sales up that way. Leave us hanging. That season was an interesting one. If people try to remember 1997, you did not have a 1,000-yard rusher. You did not have a 500-yard receiver. If people are wondering, they're racking their brains, okay, who was on that team? Did the name Ty Streets mean anything to you? The leading receiver on the team. Chris Howard, the leading rusher on the team. And the quarterback, everyone probably goes, oh, that'd be Tom Brady, right? Well, yeah, Tom Brady was on the team, but Tom Brady didn't start any games. Tom Brady was the backup to Brian Griese. So Tom Brady has a ring from the championship team, but didn't play a major part in it at all. Brian Griese was actually your quarterback. And at that time, even though now, you know, you look at their pro careers, Lloyd, it's no contest. But back then, Brian Griese was the better quarterback, right?
Well, he was the most well-prepared, because he had been through, he took over for Scott Dreisbach in the 95 season, and Streets and all those talented guys played an important role. But Tom Brady, you know, was such a great competitor. He made us a better team from the standpoint that he came every single day fired up, competing to the best he could be, because he believed that he was the best quarterback. And his attitude had a great impact. So he was a leader, even though he did not play as much as he wanted to.
Did he ever complain to you about not playing?
Well, he came in one day in his sophomore year, and he said, "Coach, I think I'm going to transfer." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, because I don't think I'm going to ever play here. I don't think I'm being treated fairly, and I just think it's best that I leave." And I said, "Well, Tom, if you leave Michigan, it'll be the biggest mistake you ever make." So I said, "Well, why don't you go on home tonight, think about it, talk to your mom and dad, and come back and see me tomorrow." So I was in a staff meeting following that meeting with Tom, and I told the coaches, I said, "Look, Tom's going to leave, so we've got to deal with that issue." And the next day, Tom came in, and he sat down in right in front of my desk, and he leaned forward, and he said, "Coach Carr, I've decided I'm going to stay at Michigan, and I'm going to prove to you that I'm a great quarterback."
Wow. And you proceeded to keep him on the bench the whole rest of the season.
Well, we were playing awfully well. And
now the answer is yes. But
the one thing I say is this: Tom, you know, Brian Griese played, you know, 9 games, I think, and he had a record of 5-4. He had some outstanding games, and he had some games that weren't so great. But Griese used all the things that he learned in the Beds, or in, it wasn't a team that Michigan was bragging about, but it was the foundation that enabled him to come in. And, you know, any mention of great quarterbacks at Michigan, he has to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because he certainly played a great season in 97.
97 season began, I don't expect anybody to remember this, but back then, Michigan would usually play one highly ranked opponent, you know, non-conference opponent, and maybe, you know, maybe a lesser one, and then Notre Dame. Now, the schedule is, you know, first you play our Sisters of the Weak, then you play our Sisters of the Hopeless, then you say our Sisters of the Helpless, and then you start the Big Ten season. And not just, that's not just Michigan. You know, most schools do that. But your schedule back in 1997, you opened against number 8 Colorado at Michigan. Then you played Baylor, and then you played Notre Dame. It's not exactly like the pushover schedule. And you won your first game against Colorado 27-3. Did you have some inkling after that, hey, we just beat the number 8 team in the country? And you weren't, I think, ranked that high right then. You were like number, I don't know where you were, number 14 maybe or something like that. Did you have some sense that you were onto something special?
You know, I didn't have anything to do with the scheduling in 1995. But, yeah, I would not have wanted to play that schedule every year, but it worked out. And really, that opening game against Colorado was a dominating performance. Our defense was outstanding, and it was just a great victory. And it really, the momentum that we picked up coming out of that game, because the expectations were not as high for that team. I think we were ranked in the Big Ten. The media prior to the season, they picked us to finish 5th. Wow. In the conference, so yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you outperformed. You outkicked your coverage. Yeah. And then, of course, you had some showdown games against Penn State, was ranked number 2 in the country at the time. You were number 4. You went to Happy Valley there and beat them there 34-8.
Wow.
I mean, it wasn't even close. And then you played Ohio State 2 weeks later, and they were number 4. Ranked number 4. You had reached up to number 1, and that was a close one. That was in Ann Arbor, and you beat them 20-14. Anything that you remember from that particular Ohio State game that sent you to the Rose Bowl?
Well, it was we jumped out to a good lead, 21-0 at the half. But as we went up the tunnel to the locker room, I'm thinking, how did this happen? But I understood in that rivalry, you don't count anybody out. And Ohio State came back and made it into a one-score game. And late in that game, we made the plays on defense that gave us a victory that ensured us of a chance of winning a national championship.
Yeah. And then a national championship game was the Rose Bowl against Washington State. Again, it wasn't the national championship game. You had to win it in order to be ranked number one in the polls, which you ultimately did. You beat Washington State 21-16. Bonus points for anyone who can name Washington State's quarterback.
Ryan Leaf, right?
Ryan Leaf, right. Yes. The great Ryan Leaf, who at the time everybody thought was maybe the best quarterback in the country, yeah. Right? Him and Peyton Manning, right?
No doubt. And I, you know, the thing that, stands out in my mind in that season, you know, great players make great coaches, you know. Brian Griese, but Charles Woodson won the Heisman Trophy as a predominantly defensive player. You know, to do that, it just speaks to the enormous respect and that Woodson engendered amongst his teammates and the fans and throughout college football. It was a great reward that a great player really made us a team that could be as good as we were. Yeah.
And interesting to note that year, after winning the Rose Bowl, unlike what it is today, you had to wait a couple of days before the polls came out to actually find out if you had technically won the national championship, because Nebraska was there as well. And you were voted by the Associated Press, Football News, Football Writers Association of America as a national champion, a bunch of other ones. And certainly around here, that's how everybody remembers it, even though technically it was a tie.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great rewards of coaching, and especially coaching in a place like Michigan. You're going to be able to recruit great players, and if you can do a good job coaching them, then there's nothing in my experience like that 97 team, because the expectations were so low, and we had four seasons in a row of four losses. You know, there was nobody particularly excited about the 97 team, but the guys on that team had the heart and the courage and the toughness that it takes to compete at the highest level. And as you mentioned, that schedule was Murderer's Row. I mean, there were no easy ones there.
No, but you beat them all. You beat everybody they put in front of you. This is just a glimpse of what you can find out, of course, in great detail, and find out who set that fire. Because you're leaving us hanging here. It's like an episode of Homeland. Yeah. Mountaintop.
Well, I should mention, you know, that one of the interesting things about this, there was a keg of beer, and a pretty empty keg by the time the Michigan Daily took the picture that appeared on the Michigan Daily. So it was Frazier carried this keg of beer up 12 flights of stairs. So it was the maddest I've ever been in my life.
Well, at least you knew he was in shape.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a heck of a feat. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, should put that in the workout.
Yeah.
Find out more about all this in Mountaintop, the inside story of Michigan's 1997 national title climb by Nick Malmgartner and Mark Snyder. Lloyd, it's great to hear your voice. I'm sure our listeners are so happy to hear you recount some of this stuff. Yeah. Congratulations on this book and 26 years worth of congratulations since 1997. Still the only national championship for Michigan. Great catching up with you, Lloyd. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Mitch.
Back with more on 760 WJR.